This is Sylvia Vivanco speaking. Okay, Terry, if you can kindly go ahead with the roll call, please.
Thank you, Sylvia. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to the LaCroalo Monthly Call, held on Monday, the 18th of April, 2016, at 2300 UTC. On the call today, we have John Chand, Renata Aquino Ribeiro, Marissa Aguirre, Adrian Carbola, Aida Noobla, Ratsme Satiro, Christian Casas, Badalmar Davalos, Ricardo Holmquist, Christelle Vaval, Umberto Carrasco, Alberto Soto, Tracy Hacksaw, Jania, Harold Artos, Antonio Medina Gomez.
Albert Daniels.
Joined.
We also have Alan Greenberg, Bartlett Morgan, Devinanti Luxin, McKinley Severe, and Nilo Pearson. From staff, we have Janice Dumoulin, Heidi Ulrich, Sylvia Vivanco, Albert Daniels, Mike Brennan, and myself, Terry Agnew. Our Spanish interpreters today are Sabrina and Veronica. Our Portuguese interpreter today is Bettina. And our French interpreters today are Isabel and Claire. We are also conducting captioning on today's call, and our captioner today is Mary Kay. I would like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking, not only for transcription purposes, but also for our interpreters. Thank you very much. I'll now turn it back over to, I believe it's Umberto who has joined us at this time.
Umberto Carrasco speaking. Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. And after the roll call, I will now give the floor to Maritza to carry on with our agenda. Maritza Agüero speaking. Thank you, Umberto. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. This is Maritza Agüero speaking. And I will now go over our proposed agenda for this call. First of all, we have the update on public consultations by Harold Arcos. Then we will have a presentation by Janice Dumoulin. She will give us a presentation on the fellowship and newcomer and next-gen programs. Then we have the report about the MAG-IGF. After that, a report about the CROP program and how to participate in that program. That will be given by Alberto Soto. After that, we have a member from the CCNSO Council that will give us an update on CCNSO working groups and activities at the Morocco meeting and next project. After that, Alberto Soto will take the floor. And finally, Umberto Carrasco will give us a status of the progress of the MOU with LACNIC. Finally, we will focus on other LaCroalo issues, regional selections, any other business, and the captioning evaluation survey by Sylvia Vivanco. Umberto Carrasco speaking. Thank you, Marita. Before we move on to the next item on our agenda, I have to apologize in advance because due to my work schedule, I will not be able to join the entire call, so I will have to leave earlier, and Maritza will take over. With that, I would like to know if Harold is ready to give us the, or to speak about the ALAC public consultation process. Harold, are you there? So if Harold is not on the call or available, then can we move on to the next item on the agenda, please? And then Harold will take over once he joins. So with that, I will give the floor to Janice then. Janice, go ahead, please. Maritza Agüero, for the record, yes, if Janice is on the call and ready for her presentation, she can take the floor now. Thank you.
Sure, I'd be more than happy to. Assume everyone can hear me, and I'll just start going forward. So First of all, thank you very much for inviting me onto your call. I can see what a heavy agenda you have, so I appreciate the time. I'll go through quickly, so if there's any questions, you'll have more time for questions than just listening to me. So just a little commercial announcement. It's been almost 2 years since the Development and Public Responsibility Department was formed at ICANN, and the fellowship, newcomer, and next gen at ICANN are all part of the DPRD, as we call ourselves. And actually hidden at the bottom of the ICANN website homepage, you'll find this link that will go directly to the DPRD page. And from there, you can bounce to Academic Outreach, ICANN Learn, NextGen at ICANN, and the Fellowship Program, as well as to the Newcomer page. So it's a great one-stop shopping. So by introduction, just an overview of the program. Starting from the bottom up, the newcomers are first-timers at any ICANN meeting, or first-timers to come into the ICANN website, actually. You can be a newcomer and part of NextGen, a newcomer and part of Fellowship, but someone who has not experienced the ICANN content, a mission, or an ICANN meeting, new to ICANN, we welcome them through various methods, which we'll go into. NextGen at ICANN is a starting place if you are between the ages of 18 and 30 and you have not yet been engaged in ICANN as far as getting to an ICANN meeting. Something that we are changing right now with the NextGen is that we would like to see this as a stepping stone towards fellowship and towards other participation. It should not be a place for additional funding. Though I love my fellows, it should not be that step to go from fellowship to next gen, but always looking to be a newcomer and then coming in through the program that best suits you. And so a customized and guided experience for someone who is in the region of the current ICANN meeting and hasn't been exposed to ICANN, especially through a meeting setting, is what we would call a next-genner. Where fellowship are those who are 21 years of age or older, and I am very clear on the fact that I have, as the representative for the fellowship program, never put an age cap on the fellowship program. If you have interest and time, a passion to learn and to become engaged in the ICANN community, then there's an open door into the fellowship program. So they are unique, and we've had to spend time even internally with our own staff over the past 2 years explaining the unique qualities of the three experiences. So I explained the newcomer in the previous slide, so I'll jump back to NextGen again to reiterate. It is different. It is a very orchestrated interaction. And I use that word specifically because we do plan now very carefully for that experience. We are looking to educate and engage for future participation. So that makes it very unique against the fellowship program, which is a capacity building program. It is meant to get the best of those who are out there from anywhere around the world and bring them in with the intent of them quickly becoming a member of an ICANN community, learning about that community, and finding their niche there, finding their engagement. In NextGen, you have to create a 10-minute presentation. Again, something new that we've started this calendar year is that that presentation is not made on the fly at the ICANN meeting, but it's something that you actually present to the facilitators of NextGen prior to the ICANN meeting so that we can already see, you know, what it is that you're thinking,
on how you are looking at your university bachelor's, master's, or PhD experience as it pertains to internet governance. And we can help you with that presentation before it actually comes before the community at the ICANN meeting. Whereas the fellowship program, you provide a report or a summary after the meeting so that we can continue to learn how a first-time, second-time, or third-time fellow has become engaged, has learned how to participate at a higher level, and in preparation to go out into the community or to become engaged further in the community. So three very different qualities to each. From a funding perspective, of course, as a newcomer, there is no funding offered. If you're coming in through the website, you can ask for assistance through engagement at ICANN.org. That's actually myself, Jeannie Ellers, and Deborah Escalera, who are behind that that email address, and will help to set you up with community mentors through the fellowship alumni. We'll help to get you to staff members so that you can learn more about a particular part of ICANN. And if you come to an ICANN meeting, we welcome you into the newcomer day and into the fellowship program, which is open. But as a newcomer, there's no funding attached. From a next-gen perspective, since they are coming from the region that the ICANN meeting is in, it was determined that only travel and accommodation would be provided. If interregionally there are visa costs, those visa costs will be reimbursed according to the ICANN travel guidelines, because we do realize that traveling within Europe or traveling within Africa sometimes necessitates a visa. And so we do reimburse for that, but they do not receive a stipend. Whereas with fellowship program, it is your travel, accommodations, and stipend, as well as per the travel guidelines, you are reimbursed up to $200 for any cost towards obtaining a visa. So the long-term goals, again, of a newcomer is to help them become more understanding of what engagement and participation at ICANN mean. And we want to continue to bring them in and to give them the knowledge that they need through ICANN Learn, through collaborations with the communities, and, as we said before, matching them up with an alumni from their region who could be more helpful in getting them engaged faster. From a next gen, it's a connection with community members. We have seen our next gen participants go into working with our regional representatives, such as Albert, such as Daniel, such as Jean-Jacques, and start to develop outreach events and conferences and courses on ICANN Learn. So this is a big part of that next gen program, to capture that energy and passion that exists with that level of learning and bring them along in our community at a level that they can keep up with while studying. And then the hope is, of course, that they can step forward either into fellowship or directly into the community as members of Next Gen, such as Augustina, have done, stepping from Next Gen to a Next Gen ambassador and then into MPOC. So you can go for that complete leap. For a fellowship, it's active participation at the meeting. We actively participate actually before the meeting with the alumni coaches to get better prepared. Your return on investment is required. It's not just an expectation, it's actually a requirement. We expect a long-term investment. But what we've learned through the years is we have to invest first in the person so that they want to take that investment we've made in them and put it back into ICANN. So it's a learning experience. we find with the fellowship alumni coaches, and also active participation at the ICANN booth. There's a feeling of that giving back, and you're more likely to remain within ICANN when you feel that bond and that need to give and to give back to keep engagement and participation alive. So we alluded to the alumni coaches. That's the program. It's about 3 years old now. And I work very hard to match up the coaches with someone or individuals within their region. If we cannot make the match within the region, we focus next on sector of interest. We also focus on languages because we realize that having a shared language helps with that learning process. Because the coaches come through the application, online application process, the same as any other fellow, sometimes we don't have the perfect match between the coaches that were selected and the applicants who were selected, but we work very hard to make a good match between them to establish good relationships and learning going forward. There is a set schedule of mandatory morning and sometimes afternoon sessions. It's a very fast-paced process, which is why we know that it takes potentially 3 meetings for some individuals to really get into the complete learning and process of ICANN. There are network opportunities that we offer, and we have seen the positive results of this constant networking that we do with the community leaders, interested members of the community, and alumni of the program. And of course, the post-meeting experience with a fellowship alumni mailing list and a fellowship Facebook and a LinkedIn, which keeps everyone engaged going forward, sharing their challenges, sharing their learnings, and helping everyone to know that you don't have one experience or two or three, you're part of a family. So again, the next gen very much differs. It's a much younger, smaller group. The next gen is typically 15 individuals per meeting. We had a larger group in Marrakesh due to having had so many applications when we were coming to Morocco a year before. So we wanted to make that up by doubling the amount for our ICANN 55, but typically around 15 individuals per meeting. We did start the ambassador program 2 meetings ago, so they would have the same experience as the incoming fellows with their coaches. The ambassadors have had to have at least 1 previous next-gen experience, and then they help the new next-gen through the pre-meeting and meeting experience. And they also help the next-gen coordinator, Deb Escalera, to manage the presentation. The fellowship, we do focus and prioritize on developing and least developed nations. We are going to be able to bump up from 50 to 60 fellows in FY17, which we're very happy for because we, once we select coaches, that number of 50 goes down to potentially anywhere between 35 and 40 actual participants because you have to allow for the coaches. So we asked for this additional number so that we could continue bringing in new individuals while keeping hold of the coaching program. Learning more, we have our links. Again, if you go to the development and public responsibility link, you can get to all of our programs or go directly to the links that are provided. And that's my information on those programs. The one thing that I do want to add is that I think some of you know that we have been undergoing an internal review of the fellowship eligibility criteria. Due to starting that review process, we were able to open up the fellowship, the ICANN 56 application to all previous alumni of the program from 2007 up to the present, no matter if your country was currently on the World Bank list or the Small Island Developing Nations list. We are going to continue for ICANN 57, which launches this Friday, the 22nd. We will continue to accept all applications. Our criteria will be prioritizing those from known developing or least developed nations, but not by the current World Bank list. What this means is that our selection committee will look at each application on its own merit and prioritize to make sure that we are looking at those countries that are globally understood as still developing nations. So we are still in work with this eligibility criteria review. I've actually widened the review to be an all-encompassing of the entire fellowship program as we move from our 9th to our 10th year, one decade of the program. So we'll be looking at the terms, the process, the selection committee, and overall criteria. This will come out to public comment. So what we're working on internally is going to be shared this week with members of an internal group of which Gisela and Heidi are part of. We have Rodrigo de la Parra, Andrea, Mandy Carver, who started the fellowship project, and members of our legal team. We've had an outside researcher working with us internally to look at comparable programs and how they use means testing or criteria that they use to evaluate applications. Once we go through this internally, members, all past plus current members of the Fellowship Selection Committee will be looking at these revised documents of our process and research and eligibility, serving as a subset to the ICANN community. That means as far back as 2007 with Vonda and Steve Hooter and other members. Once that is done and we are ready, we will go out for overall public comment on all of this. So I think this was a good chance to be able to share this with the LACRELO. We know that the changes in the fellowship program because of the World Bank criteria hit Latin America very hard these past 18 to 24 months, and we appreciate all of your support and understanding as we've worked to this point. And as soon as we hear, we have more to share with you, and we're ready, certainly we'll let everybody know. So thank you very much for this opportunity. And if there's any questions at all, I'd be more than happy.
While it's going on and not actually participating.
And this is Terry on the English channel. Maritza, if your line is open, Janice has finished.
I'll turn it on.
And we do have one person with a question.
This is Alberto. This is Maritza speaking. Hello, can you hear me right now? Silvia Vivanco, yes, go ahead, please. We can hear you. Go ahead. This is Maritza speaking. Alberto Soto has his hand up. So, Alberto, please go ahead with your question. This is Alberto Soto for the record. Can you hear me? Hello, Silvia Vivanco speaking. Yes, we can hear you. Alberto Soto speaking. Thank you very much, Janice, for all this information and for the great news. I have a question. Is it possible that taking into account these programs that you are managing, once they are over, there are participants that belong to the ALSs and some others are not members of ALSs? So would it be possible that at the end of these programs, once the task is over because they are not coming back to the fellowship program, is it possible that our RALO may have the email addresses of these people for us to invite them to our webinars and meetings so that they can keep on participating and engaging? Thank you.
Thank you, Alberto. What I will do is, the answer is yes, that should be the right thing. We send the email addresses for all of our fellows to the regional vice presidents and stakeholder engagement managers, because we do think that the regional approach to participation is the first stronghold of keeping everyone engaged and engaged to understand the challenges of their region and have their voice there. Just recently, with an upgrade that I'm working on the application system, I have added in the agreed-upon terms when someone makes the application, at the end of the application, they have to check certain boxes. And we've never before had a box checked to say, I agree for the use of my email address for ICANN work, or I can't remember the exact wording that I use, but I have just recently added that to an upgrade so that I could freely give these email addresses, because before that, did not feel at liberty to share addresses if people weren't comfortable with it. But I do respect and acknowledge the fact that the at-large is trying to keep this engagement moving forward with individuals who are interested. So it is a process. We are working on it. I think it's the right thing to do, but I want to make sure that we are targeting individuals who wish to be targeted, if you know what I mean, and that we are, from a legal perspective, that we are covering ourselves by sharing someone's email address that way. We do the same with at-meeting registration. You have the ability to check for ICANN to use your email address or to not. And so that's just what I am trying to follow and make sure happens correctly before opening up that gate.
This is Marisa speaking. Thank you very much. So now I'll give the floor to Alan. Alan, go ahead, please.
No, I'm sorry. That was actually a mistake. I don't know how my hand got up. So sorry.
Marisa,
I see Dave has his hand.
Now, Devon Antilaxine, I see your hand up. Go up. Go ahead, please.
Thank you, Janice. This is Devanand speaking. And thanks for Janice, thanks for the presentation. It actually is great just that the eligibility criteria is going to be open for public comment. My question to you is this, and it follows a little bit on what Alberto was saying. The Outreach and Engagement Subcommittee has been tracking the persons that attend fellowships from past meetings so that we can look to contact them. To see if we could, for outreach purposes and for engagement purposes. One of the things I was wondering is that for those persons that applied and for whatever reason were not approved, is that information tracked? And would it be possible to have that information all shared so that, so even for those persons that applied but didn't get through, I'm presuming there is a potential that maybe we could still do outreach to those individuals because they were interested enough to apply. So that's my question. Thanks.
The answer would be yes going forward. Once we were just like the registration, legally okay that someone had checked the box to say, by applying, my email address can be used. For the past applicants, it would have to be a backward pass that I would do to ensure that anyone previously who applied. So that would take a little bit work and time. The answer is yes, in theory. It would just take a little work and time to be able to do that.
This is Maritza Agüero for the record. There is a question, a pending question from Reitner, and the question is this. Fellows of the Latin American region accountability, we multiply the effect of the meetings to integrate more people, and this is the question posted by Reitner Citerio on the chat.
I did see that, but I have to admit I didn't really understand the question part. I don't know exactly what the question is.
This is Maritza Agüero. Perhaps, Reitner, could you please explain further your question so that Janice may give you an answer, because we need to move on with our agenda. So Maritza Agüero speaking. Great. Thank you very much, Reitner. So this is Maritza Agüero for the record now. I will give the floor to Harold Arkes for him to speak about ALAC. Harold, are you on the call? This is Maritza Agüero for the record. If Harold is not connected on the call right now, we might move forward and we might give the floor to Renata Aquino so that she can proceed with her presentation, and then we will give the floor to Harold for him to proceed with his presentation. So Renata, you have the floor. Are you able to participate? Can you speak right now?
Yes. Hello. Hi. Thank you for the space. Thank you all for being here. I can see you are all listening to me because I saw the live scribe already. I am in a very tricky internet connection. I am in a conference far away from home right now, so it's very good to have this resource and to be able to understand better and to follow better LACALU, which is always so rich in information, and with our linguistic diversity in Latin America. I have sent to you the link to the IGF Forum website, and I would like to invite you all, Latin American participants of Internet Governance Debates and LACALU participants, to take a look at our call for workshops, which has just opened and will be open until the 6th of June. The Internet Governance Forum will be a UN-sponsored event in Mexico in December, and the preparatory meeting for this event has just happened in the 4th to 6th of April with the MAG members And I am currently one of those MAG members representing civil society via the Civil Society Coordination Group, which brings together different organizations, different groups on that area, such as communities like Lesbids and Internet Governance Forum. So it is very important to us to keep Latin America participation in this event at a very high level, as it has traditionally been. And also, the last IGF forum was in Brazil, in my region, which is the northeast of Brazil. And I would like to converge to Janice's comments about the importance of the regional approach to internet governance debate. This was a fantastic point that she raised. And I think we must go on trying to engage our region in internet governance debates, because this is a very important way where we can have our voice heard in international arenas and influence agreements in this area. So you may see that the call has several other links that you can follow for guidelines, for proposing workshops, the formats. There are many types of formats of workshops you can propose, such as birds of a feather, breakout group discussions, flash sessions, and also there will be very important work done by the Dynamic Coalition in Gender, of which I am a member. And this is very important to increase also diverse participation in internet governance debates. So this is, again, a very important opportunity for Latin America. There is likely to be mechanisms for diverse participation encouragement as the IGF proceeds in its organization. So I would encourage you all to send your proposals. And I hope that we get to see many Lacralo members there. And thank you for considering the Internet Governance Forum. I guess this would be it for now. Thank you.
This is Maritza Weber speaking. Thank you very much, Renata, for your presentation. Is there any question or any comment? If there are no questions or comments, we would now continue with Harold's presentation, if it is that Harold is already on the call. And if Harold is not on the call, I will give the floor to Christelle Naval, member of the CCNSO. So could you please confirm if Harold is connected, if Harold is on the call? Could you please confirm that?
And this is Terry from staff.
This is Ivanko speaking from staff. Go ahead, please. Maritza speaking. Sorry, Silvia. Silvia Vivanco speaking. I was saying that Harold is not on the call yet, so you can continue with the agenda. Maritza speaking. Okay, thank you very much. This is Maritza Weber for the record. So now we will be introducing Christelle Baval. So Christelle, you have the floor. Go ahead, please. And thank you, Renata, for your presentation.
Hello, everyone. Can you hear me?
Yep, can I hear you fine?
Okay, so I'm Christelle, and I will do like an update of the CCNS award. The CCNSO is from 158 members. The members are the CCCLD's managers. The last member to date is the .BB, Barbados, someone from our region. And the council is formed by three people from each region. As you know, in ICANN, we have five regions, so three people from each region. And three members are appointed by the NOMCOM. I'm one of them. So I've been appointed by the NOMCOM committee, and my term started right after the Dublin meeting. So the CCNSO councils from our region are Demi Jezko, Alejandra Reynoso, Margarita Valdez. The secretariat of the CCNSO is formed by ICANN members, ICANN staff, sorry. We have Bart, Kimberly, and Yoke. The accountability of the CCNSO counselors. The counselors, the elected counselors, are accountable to the community. So we have here a table with the attendance of the members during the calls and their participation during calls and meetings. And this is quite interesting, so people can go on our website and see the updates of what they have been doing. The working group members are also accountable. The Guideline Review Committee has proposed some changes regarding attendance of the members, committee members, and procedures for conflict resolution. The council activities, so the main activities we are focusing right now, I guess this is quite the same for other communities. With the CCWG accountability and ANA stewardship transition. Meeting B, since we will have our first meeting B right now in Helsinki, so we will see how it goes and see if we have to reevaluate it after. And the CCNSO PDP on retirement of CCCLDs and on IRP decisions on delegation, revocation, and transfer of CCCLDs. There are many working groups within the CCNSO. The CWT stewardship, we have a new member, Martin. The Guideline Review Committee. They are mostly working on monitoring implementation of CWG proposal by ICANN staff, working on SLEs, service level expectations, IANA intellectual property arrangement, and they are actively monitoring and providing feedback on inclusion of CWG stewardship requirement and CCWG accountability final proposals. So I'm part of the new members of the Guideline Review Committee. We had our first call last week, and we will have bi-weekly calls just because we will be working on all recommendation for the transition. We will have to put the new bylaws of the CCNSO in conformity with the recommendations. There is also a program working group. So the program working group is working on agendas for ICANN meetings, essentially.
Yes.
The new chair is Alejandra Reynoso. The EPSRP working group, the chair is Giovanni Sapia from Italia. This working group is to review the guidelines on second parallel, confusing similarity review process. Once this working group is done, overall policy ready for discussion and adoption by the board. Then we have the UCTN working group. The UCTN working group is to develop OMENA's framework on use of country and territory names as TLDs. The SOP working group is currently working around update the 5-year operation for the financial year. So what we did at ICANN 55, so
yes.
we essentially work on the CCWG accountability.
Yeah, okay.
And we discussed on PDC retirement and review mechanism, the CWG implementation update and discussion, the decision making of on the CCWG accountability, view of the CCRDs present, and council decision making. We were the last to vote for the transition, by the way, and the CCNSO chair and at the end, we had elected the new chair of the CCNSO and vice chairs also. So now in Helsinki, what we will be doing, we will work on SONAC accountability, the IANA stewardship transition again, and ICANN accountability, implementation of the CWG stewardship proposal, including CCNSO specific items, implementation of CCWG Workstream 1 and progress to date to Workstream 2, including CCNSO accountability, the cross-community topics frustrating being focused on policy cross-community outreach. So on this outreach item, we had our call last week, our monthly call last week, and one of the members of the community proposed to have the closed meeting. Regarding the closed meeting, for transparency purposes, we have decided, and for outreach also, we have decided to open the closed meeting, the one with the little C, to observers. I just typed into the group so you can see. So now all the C meetings for the closed meeting of the CCNSO are open to observers. And so for background information, you can check the website. So if you have any question, let me know. Thank you.
This is Marita for the record. Thank you for the presentation. Deb, you have you're asking for the floor, so go ahead, please. You have the floor.
Thanks, sir. This is Devanand speaking. Thanks, Christelle, for the update. A question regarding the sessions at ICANN 56 that were formerly closed meetings that are now open. Would there be remote can persons listen in remotely for those now open sessions?
We haven't discussed this yet, but I think it will be, since it would be the first the first community to do this, I'm not sure that there will be some possibility to have remote participation, but I don't, I prefer to ask, because we only discussed it last week and voted it during the weekend. So I don't know if it will be open online for remote participation, but that would be great.
Marita, for the record. Now, is there any further questions at this point? With that, if there are no further questions, then we will move on to Harold Arkus's presentation on ALAC's public consultation period. Harold, go ahead, please. You have the floor.
Thank you.
Marita Aguero speaking. Harold, your audio is very faint. Can you speak up, please? Marita Aguero speaking. Harold, you are coming out very choppy. Your audio is very choppy right now. Marita speaking again. Harold, can you give it a last try? If not, we need to give the floor to Alberto Soto. Harold speaking, what about now? Can you hear me? Marita speaking, yes, your sound is great. Thank you. Harold speaking, great, thank you, Marita. Marita speaking, so go ahead, please, Harold. Harold speaking, okay, we have 5 minutes allocated to this update. So I would like to share the slides. If we can show the slides, please, on the screen. Marita speaking. Go ahead, please, Harold. Please, let's move on with your presentation. Harold speaking. I am trying to show the screen, to display the slides on the screen. Oh, I see that it is not possible to display the slides, to share them on the screen. So,
Harold, this is Terry from staff.
And I will share the slides on the meetings page of Archive for further review and further questions. Well, let me tell you that we have a new meetings strategy in place. So we have meeting A, B, and C in Helsinki, item 56. That will be meeting B, and it will be a four-day meeting only. There won't be any public forum. It's a policy-focused meeting. It is centered on policy development work, ongoing work, in the different community groups. So as you can see, the goals are different, and so is the meeting duration. We go from 7 days, as is the case with the annual meeting, to 4 days devoted purely to policy development work. So once this, or with this agreed, we see that there are several consultations right now, ongoing right now. We see the draft icon FY17, operating plan and budget, and 5-year operating plan update. We see that it is a statement in process, and this is posted for public comment, not only by the ICON community, but by all the participants willing to post their comments. So there is a period, an ongoing period, as I was saying, to present public comments. This operating plan for the FY 2017 is bringing on board all the improvements proposed by the community. Some of our colleagues in the region presented or made some observations, among them Mr. Pisanti, and my apologies if I am not mentioning all of them. So they made some comments on these guidelines that are very important within ICANN. So we see that we see principles not only for starting a working group, but also for their future work. Then we have the an ongoing comment period on the review of geographic regions. That is the final report recommendations of the geographic regions review working group. The public comment period closed on April the 15th, and we expect to vote within ALAC on April 25th. So clearly, many of the participants in our region reach the public comment period without having enough information in order to actively engage in these review processes or even in the PDPs or policy development processes. Okay, so this public comment period closed on April 15th, but we expect to proceed to a vote in ALAC or within ALAC on April the 25th. And maybe I can add further comments on behalf of our RALO. This is really important. This topic is really important. Clearly, this review focuses on the new proposals that have to do with geographic distribution. And the community is really interested in this topic because this is pivotal to what we do within ICANN. Therefore, the ICANN board is interested in the community feedback and asked staff to open a 120-day period, which closed on April the 15th. So it's very important to review these comments and work towards the April the 25th vote, and I will be participating on behalf of La Crano. Then we have a report on safeguards, a draft report, a new GTLD program safeguards to mitigate DNS abuse. The objective of this initiative is to counteract illegal activities, and of course a review is in order given the new GTLD program that opens up the market and makes us consider any improvements in the DNS in order to prevent these instances of DNS abuse. Then we have a PDP on subsequent measures regarding GTLDs. We have several at-large members from the region, Vandas Carcassini and myself, among others. And after the initial phase in which sub-working groups have been set up, we are working within the new GTLD program in order to improve all the processes that were included in prior rounds, going from the application, the new GTLD applications submitted, and the different legal issues that applicants faced, the perception or their experiences throughout the application round. So we understand that we need to review all these instances because a new round will be launched and we need to focus on these initiatives. Finally, before I bring my presentation to a close, I would like to remind you that these are not the only PDPs subject to a consultation or to a public comment period, but they are the most recently closed. And then I have also spoken about the ongoing ones and the most relevant ones, of course. Then we have another new working group on next generation registration directory services for GTLDs. GTLDs on the whole, not the new GTLDs, but all the GTLDs. These new RDS would replace POIs and would bring the discussion to a close, the discussion on how to handle registrant information. This is of utmost importance, and a colleague in our region, and together with Holly Reid, drafted the preliminary project, which is what we are studying or considering right now. So this is a summary of the different ongoing actions in terms of ongoing policy work and also policy work open to public comment. We are more than happy to share information. Surely there are members in our region that have engaged actively in these initiatives. And before I bring my presentation to a close, I would like to say that all these collaborations would help us organize our activities within La Cralo as a regional group, that is, approach these policy initiatives with far more information so that we can engage and participate more accurately. So this is what is being done in preparation for ICANN 56. Thank you, Marisa, for this opportunity and for your attention. I give the floor back to you now. Marisa Agüero speaking for the record. Is there any question about Harold's presentation? Marita Agüero speaking again. If there are no further questions on Harold's presentation, then we will give the floor to Alberto Soto for his presentation now. Alberto Soto speaking. Thank you. If you can please display my presentation on the screen, I would appreciate it. Thank you. The idea of this presentation on the crop program is the following. I know you are aware of the program and what the program is about, but I would like to focus on an overview of the program purpose and objective, and I would like to give you an overview in terms of how to apply for support within the program with an emphasis on past experiences within La Cralo. Can you please display my presentation on the screen? Would that be possible?
Hi, this is Terry from staff, and I apologize about the delay. I have lost my connection, but as soon as I can get it up, I will bring it right up for you.
Alberto Porto speaking. Thank you, Terry. So, in the interest of time, I will continue while Terry is working on displaying the presentation on the screen. So, as I said, the objective today is to present an overview of the crop program and to stress the basic requirements and the objectives of the crop program. The objectives of this program are to build local or regional awareness and recruitment of new community members, then more effectively engage with current members and or reactivate previously engaged ICANN community members, and thirdly, communicate ICANN's mission and objectives to new participants or audiences, to newcomers, which is quite a lot of people. So within the CROP program, we have five travel allocations, five individual regional trips that are allocated to the following ICANN structures, to all our railos, AFRALO, AP Railo, URALO, LACRALO, and NARALO. These are the five individual railos. And I see that my presentation is now on the Adobe Connect screen. I don't know if I can control the slides. Okay, so we have touched on this topic. My apologies. Okay, so we have 5 individual regional trips allocated, but in La Crallo we have 7, thanks to the GSC team and Rodrigo de la Parra. We have 7 trips per year. Please bear in mind that this is per fiscal year, so it goes from mid-calendar year to mid-calendar year, so bear that in mind when you submit an application. So what is being funded? Well, we have, or the funds include transportation and economy class transportation, lodging, and $50 per diem. As you know, you can take care of your own travel reservation when you travel within ICANN, but this is not the case within the CROP program. In this case, ICANN constituency travel have to take care of your reservation in order to ensure consistency, proper accounted records, and of course, keeping track of costs against the budget. And the proposed program has to be in line with terms and conditions of the pilot program. So you cannot take care of your own booking, so booking is not permitted for this program. And then you have to provide an accurate and complete post-event trip assessment within 3 weeks of your return date. This is very important for future applications. Oh, my apologies. Bear with me for a second, please. I am not scrolling the pages or the slides, and I see that they are moving. My apologies again. My apologies. I am having issues with the slides. I will continue with my presentation, but I will ask staff to then scroll down the pages of my presentation as I continue. Thank you. So I mentioned the report, and then the applications or requests. Just 1 second, please bear with me. Okay. So the project must be pre-approved within the participants' organization, then by the La Crallo leadership, and then it has to be sent to the CROP program for approval, and then to the GSC team, and that's the end of the process. Bear in mind that the minimum time for submitting a project is 8 weeks before the event date, and there are further considerations. So bear in mind that you need to include this information when you submit an application: the number of travelers, 1 or 2, if applicable. But bear in mind that we have 7 trips allocated, so if you have 2 travelers, then we have 5 trips left. Then the traveler contact information and the itinerary, the departure city, departure date, arrival date, return date. In fact, you need to report the dates of the events, and then ICANN Travel Constituency takes care of checking the flights and getting the traveler to the event. Now, this has a downside. For example, I traveled to Cuba and I had a day off before the event due to flight scheduling. So I was able to attend the event or participate in only 1 day of the event, Monday, because I had to travel on Tuesday at 6 a.m., which meant that I spend only 1 day of the event on site. I explained that in a meeting, and I am awaiting a reply or explanation. Then you have to include special travel circumstances, arrangements, explanations, notes, and of course the event dates. You need to include a link to the event website, so something must already be available online. The address, the physical address. This is important because printed material will be sent out to that post address, and you need to get that address well in advance. Then you need to include the sponsors and the proposed goals and outcomes. Okay, we need to check that we have all the necessary visas ahead of the event. For instance, right now, we were not able to travel to Montego Bay because we couldn't get the U.S. visa, not even an in-transit or passenger in-transit visa, because unfortunately, Haiti does not qualify apparently for a visa or for a U.S. visa. I need to double-check this, but this is the information I have received so far. So the participants will not be able to travel. And Haiti and Montego Bay are 500 kilometers apart. Because there isn't a direct flight, passengers have to make a stopover in the United States. Then you need plenty of time in advance to make sure you have all the necessary visas. Then focus on vaccine or vaccination requirements. When I traveled to Haiti, I checked the necessary, or I made sure that I had all the necessary vaccines or vaccine requirements. And then I was not allowed to travel to Haiti because I did not have one vaccine. I had to travel to the Dominican Republic first. On my dime, of course, I got a reimbursement, and then I had to continue traveling to Haiti. Then you need to focus on health coverage requirements. In some places, when you arrive, you have to show proof of your health coverage or health insurance. Then you have to extensively coordinate with local organizers, internal transfers, etc. You have a $50 per diem, and I had to pay $40 for a taxi, for instance. And then you had an entrance tax, a departure tax, so that practically took over all my per diem, and that is not included in the crop program. And I emphasize, please take time windows into account, time frames into account to get your visas, to fulfill all the travel requirements, request printed materials, etc. And then you have to respect schedules in general. You have to make sure that you're representing your ALS like CRALO and ICANN, and take note of everything you need to prepare your report after the crop event. Maritza Huero, for the record. Thank you, Alberto. There is a question on the chat, and please be brief in the interest of time.
Maritza Huero speaking. So the question for Alberto is this. Is it the ITF on Brazil, is it eligible for the crop program that will take place in July? From the 11th to the 13th. This is Alberto Soto speaking. Well, taking into account the time period, it is not. It is only 4 weeks ahead. Maritza speaking. We have another question by Jason, and this is whether there is any restriction in terms of visa. So why didn't any other candidate go there? Alberto Soto speaking, because we got the reply from the visa 2 days ago. Maritza Huero speaking, and then we have a question from Right Ministerio. She's asking, the IGF, does the IGF this year qualify? But this already was already answered by you. Alberto Soto speaking, yes. Maritza Huero speaking. So, Alberto, thank you very much for your presentation. The presentations of all participants will be uploaded on the wiki page. So now let's continue with our agenda because we have already finished with our presentation. Now we will speak about the advancement that we have with the MOU and LATNIC and all the documentation that was sent for review. I am working on that summary, and I am providing this summary on behalf of Humberto Carrasco. But before going on, I see Deb. Deb, do you have any question for Alberto so that we can finish, so that we can close with this item on the agenda, and so that we can continue with our the next items on our agenda? Go ahead, Deb, please.
Thank you very much, Maritza. This is Dave, and thanks, Alberto, for the presentation. Just to correct something, the VELO leadership has to work with the CROP review team members, and those review team members are Juan Rojas and Leon Sanchez, and those are the persons that will actually, make the application on the wiki, make the presentation to the CROP review team, and get the GSC approvals, and take back any feedback on the proposals from the review team. So that's one thing. Another thing, just to correct regarding a correction regarding the event in July. In theory, that event is part of FY17, and it is within the past few days, it's been confirmed that persons can make an application for FY17 event in early July, for events in July and in August. This is pending, of course, whether CROP is approved by ICANN in its budget, obviously. One other thing is that this is also, CROP trips are also contingent on how they apply to the outreach strategy, which is also published on the wiki. And for FY17, this strategy also needs to be updated for FY17. So we need to have that updated FY17 outreach strategic plan in place for proposals to be able to be reviewed once ICANN approves the CROP FY17 program. Thank you.
This is Maritza Huero for the record. Thank you very much, Deb, for your comment and for your detailed explanation. Now we will continue with our last part of the agenda. The last part of the meeting, as I was saying before, has to do with the proposal of the MOU and LATNIC and the documentation being reviewed. And this, as Humberto Carrasco is telling me, the MOU has been rejected by LACNIC, and they are going to make some comments. So Humberto will provide the information later on. I was just updating you on that item on the agenda. Next item on the agenda has to do with the activities in terms of the hangover and activities by Alberto Soto. We know there is a recruitment process for ALSs. We are working on that with Eileen, and we will continue with all the pending items that were left in Marrakesh. Then with Alfredo from Colombia through the Autonomous University of Colombia, we will be having an event in that country, and of course we have to coordinate that event and we review that information. With Aida from Uruguay, she's proposing to hold an event for the 10th anniversary of La Gralo. This event will be celebrated in May, but it's still pending. We need to coordinate. With Mario from Nicaragua, La Gralo was dealing with the DIGO issue for connection during calls. The same applies for Haiti and Telemarker. And they will be offering a service free of charge. So we will continue with the follow-up of these activities to see what they are doing. Then we have another item on the agenda to report to you, and this is that the the Argentine Association Against the Cybercrime, and its application is already posted on the web page. This is posted for public comment. Comments will be received up until April the 23rd at 23 UTC. And finally, on April, there will be a review of the Carignog in Jamaica, in Jamaica, in Barbados. There will be a remote streaming of this event. In Lima, on April the 21st, there will be the Peruvian Internet Governance Forum. And as Renata said before, this is open for public comment, and the IGF that will be held in Guadalajara, Mexico, is also open for comments. Then we will have the sixth Internet Governance Forum in Brazil, in Porto Alegre. We will be posting information on the LACRALO wiki page for you to access that information and for you to have information on those events, and we will have remote participation as well. Finally, when it comes to item number 12, any other business, we will have to do a follow-up. This is for Janice, in terms of the program that she's leading, and when it comes to the other information that will be posted on the LACRALO webpage. Now I would like to know whether there is any question or comment so that we can bring this call to an end. This is Alberto Soto speaking. I don't have my computer here, but I am on the phone, so I would like to take the floor. Maritza Güero speaking. Alberto, go ahead, please. Alberto Soto speaking. When it comes to Haiti and Jamaica, there is an email by Rinalia that she sent it 2 days ago. And I would like you to forward that email to the list, because she's mentioning the ADIGO issue and the communication issue for the ALS to be able to participate. Thank you. Maritza Güero for the record. Thank you very much, Alberto. So it would be good to have that information so that we can be on the same page regarding these issues. And, of course, to be able to do the appropriate follow-up. Maritza Güero speaking. We have a question by Aida. Aida, go ahead, please. You have the floor. Maritza Güero speaking. Aida, you have the floor. Go ahead, please. Maritza Güero speaking. Aida, we are not hearing you. You have the floor. Go ahead, please. This is Silvia Vivanco from staff. It seems that Aida has no audio. Maritza Güero speaking. So is there any other question or comment? Because we will have to bring this call to an end. So Aida, are you connected? Are you on the call? This is Silvia Vivanco speaking, Maritza, if I may. I would like to take the floor to make some comments. Maritza Güero speaking. Yes, Silvia, go ahead, please. This is Silvia Vivanco speaking. I would like to tell you that next week on April the 26th, as you can see on the screen, we will begin with the selection at the RALO level for ALEC members that are still pending for renewal at the end of the General Assembly in October 2016 this year. As you can see on the screen, we have two members that will be, or whose terms will be finishing at the end of the General Assembly, and they are Vanda Scartesini, and if you scroll down, you will see the name of Silvia Hernan Leite. So we have a schedule for the selection. We will be announcing this information by email, formally by email, and we will also have a teleconference so as to provide everybody with the opportunity to ask questions to the candidates. So quickly, we have on April the 26th the announcements for the nominations. Then we will have a period for nominations, and nominations will be accepted for a period of 10 days. In May, there will be May the 16th, that would be the deadline for nomination acceptances, and on May the 25th, we will have the elections. These positions will be renewed, as I said before, at the end of the annual general meeting during the ICANN 57 meeting in October. You can see this, and you will see this information on the wiki page as well. We have the candidates who are now holding that positions, and we will provide all details when it comes to the rules that will be applicable to this election. And for this, the sake of time, this is all I wanted to say. Thank you very much, Maritza. And we are, and if we are ready, we can now continue with our survey, our evaluation survey. Maritza, if you agree with that, can we continue with the survey? This is Maritza Huera speaking. Yes, Sylvia. Before that, Aida is telling me that they are planning the event. There is no a set time. So this is what I wanted to say, and that we can proceed with the survey. So Silvia Vivanco speaking. Thank you very much, Maritza. I want to thank you all. This captioning feature has been a pilot today. We had a simultaneous transcription of the text of this call. This is only in English so far, and I hope this has been useful for you. So Terry, you have the floor. Terry, you can proceed to read the questions, and please, let's answer those questions. Terry, you have the floor. Go ahead, please.
Thank you, Maritza. We will have six survey questions total. They now appear in your bottom right-hand corner. The first survey question: the captioning feature of the Adobe Connect Room is part of a pilot. Please choose the suitable term. Very helpful, helpful, less relevant, or not helpful. Please select your choice now.
Hello, sorry, this is Vichin again in English.
Welcome back.
Okay. Thank you.
Survey question number two. Please self-identify all categories that describe who you are. A person with disabilities? A participant for whom English is a second language? A participant who doesn't speak English? A participant who has limited or low bandwidth, or none of the above. Please cast your vote now. Question number three, what benefits did you get from accessing the captioning stream? A greater understanding of the topics, ability to understand the session more effectively, provided the correct spelling of technical terminology, personal benefits of being appreciated, or able to more fully appreciate and engage with the presenter. Please cast your vote now. And just as a follow-up to question number three, if one of the previous did not describe you, here is an open place that you can type additional responses about what benefits did you get from accessing the captioning stream. Moving on to question four, where else do you think captioning should be required? Working groups, task forces, ad hoc groups, Braille calls, AVLAC calls, ECWG calls, or others? And finally, our last question is any final comments. I will leave this up for you to take your time and fill in any final comments you may have. Thank you, everyone, for joining and for staying on longer and completing the survey for us. And once again, we'll keep this poll up, but thank you everyone for joining. You may disconnect all remaining lines once you finish typing in your comments, and we thank you for joining today's conference.
Thanks all, and thanks to the interpreters. Take care. And to the captioning.
This is Maritza Hueros. Thank you very much, Terry. Thank you very much to the interpreters, the staff. This is Maritza Hueros speaking. So, good night. Thank you very much for your participation. So, good afternoon, good evening, good morning, and thank you very much.
Once again, the meeting has been adjourned. Thank you very much for joining. And please remember to disconnect all remaining lines.